If you take your Bibles once again and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I know we are in September, and but I do, we are going to kind of switch gears a little bit, because not only is part of studying the Word of God to show ourselves approved unto God, but it's also so that we can know what God wants us to know. And God wants us to know about the enemy. And today we're going to focus on verses 25 and 26 because it gives us some idea of what's going on. And let me just say this to you. We are at war. We really are. You say, Pastor, this is a church age, you know, and there's pretty much worldwide peace, etc. Well, not really. We're at war. Oh, you may not be drug out of your house and all those kinds of things and, you know, killed in the streets for being a Christian, like in some countries. But there is an adversary, a real enemy that we need to be aware of. And so if you take your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you can stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, please do so. We're going to read responsively. And by the way, this whole passage has to do with this. And so, you know, Timothy is talking to, are being talked to by Paul, his mentor, father in the faith, if you will. And so please realize that as we're reading this, as we get to the end here of the book. So if you'll join me on the even verses, I'll read by myself on the odd verses as we go through this passage. Beginning together in verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that every they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I was pondering this and kind of just seeking God's leadership on what to talk about next or what to deal with next as far as our church is concerned, and I felt that in the light of this ending of this chapter, that it was important. By the way, please understand that chapter and verse divisions didn't exist, you know, in the past. When Paul wrote this letter, he didn't, you know, all right, Timothy, chapter 1, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. He, you know, Paul didn't do that when he wrote to Timothy, okay? So you understand that in verse 26, he says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him and his will. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. So he's rolling right into this, and he talks about how all these things happen, and he talks about in verse 11 persecutions and afflictions and all these things, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, and evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, and all these things that Timothy is being told by Paul. It's a culmination of these things, right? It's all included together. And what he's telling Timothy is, Timothy, you've got to be a good general. You've got to be a good mediator between God and man, and you've got to be and play your part as a leader in the church, and you need to help these people. They oppose themselves. They're caught in the snare, and maybe God will let them recover themselves and get out of it and be restored. And if at all possible, do all you can. Okay? So the word captive simply means a prisoner of war. That's what the word captive is. And you know about POWs and all these things, you know, in our history and such and so forth. But can I tell you something? That's not a good thing. All right? And what do all those POWs, what are they told to do if they get captured? They're supposed to try to escape. And so guess what? If we're at war and we're good soldiers of Jesus Christ, when and if we do get captured, what are we supposed to try to do? Escape. Okay? And that's exactly what we're supposed to try to do. And so, please understand that we are at war. And if you will, the devil is a worthy adversary. He's not a novice. He's not a chump. Okay? He's not just an easy target. Right? He is a difficult enemy. He's a knowledgeable enemy. By the way, does he know us? He does. Okay? And are we supposed to know him? Okay, yes. Now last week when I kind of was wrapping things up, I told about snares and how the way to get out of them is to know what? How they work. Right? So if you can undo the latch, if you can undo the thing that triggers the snare, if you can reverse that, or if you can stop that, we talked about landmines, and there are different kinds, different triggers, different mechanisms, and they teach about that. Okay? Now, some of them are more impossible to solve than others, granted. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, right? I mean, but you understand how that goes. But at least if you know about it, you can do something about it, right? And so he says here, look, you're supposed to, in meekness, instruct those. Why? Well, so they can understand the truth and realize how to escape. How to get out of the snares of the devil. Now, as I was looking at snares, I want you to understand there are several snares that we have to be aware of. One of those is the snares of death. In Psalms, in Psalm 18, David says, "The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me." In Proverbs 13, Solomon writes, "The law of the wise is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death." Proverbs 14:27, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death." So you understand that there's a snare of death. What are men afraid of? Death. They are. What's kind of put in all of us? Self-preservation. Right? And there's a fear to dying to those that are lost. So what is it that allows us not to be afraid of death? Life in Jesus Christ. Salvation. By the way, a Christian should not be afraid of death. Everybody okay with that? What do we have to be afraid of? Going to heaven? Now, I'm not in a hurry to die. Don't misunderstand, okay? But listen to me. Who has conquered death and hell? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So why should we be afraid of it? It's a snare. So guess what the devil's going to try to get you to do? Be afraid of something you're not supposed to be afraid of. Did you notice there in Proverbs what Solomon said? He said, "The law of the wise is a fountain of life." And what does it do? To depart from the snares of death. So you look at life and you see that, hey, there's a snare of death over here. There's a snare of death over here. So the law of the wise is a fountain of life. It's springing up, right? It's overflowing. And it's there so that we can depart from the snares of death. He says the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. I hope you understand that this thing of death is something that a tactic that the devil uses to snare and to ensnare mankind. And God says we can escape from these things. We can know the knowledge of the truth. We can have instruction, and we can have these things so that we may recover ourselves out of the snare of the devil. Let me ask you a question. Do Christians get depressed and get into a state of despair? Yes, they do. Because they've fallen prey in this area of war. How many of you realize that in a time of war, soldiers fall into this problem, right? Yeah, fear. Despair. Right? And it's a trap. It's a snare. We're at war. The devil's going to use these things to get us down, to ensnare us, to trap us. And by the way, we're the ones that walk into it. When we should avoid it, right? When we should watch out for the warning signs, when we should look out for the traps, the triggers. By the way, that's another thing they teach you in military training, is to look out for the things that cause, right, these snares, how they're camouflaged, and maybe there's a little wire you look for, or things that you look out for, things that don't look normal, broken branches and stuff like that. You sometimes maybe methods, maybe you poke with a stick, right, or do different things to avoid the snares. Snares of death are things that keep mankind, they keep lost people from getting saved, they keep saved people from serving God. Fear of death. Do you know that some people don't go to serve God because they're afraid of dying? Right? Maybe called to a mission field to where things are difficult. And they say, well, I'm not going there. I've heard this. I suppose I'm going to have to decide what I'm going to do. But my daughter feels called to be a missionary. What if God calls her to go to Kurdistan or Iraq or, you know, some violent place? Should I just, you know, stand up and say, no, you can't go there? Because I'm afraid of her dying? You see how real this is? We're at war. These are difficult things. You know, if you look in the past, if you read about missionaries, they weren't afraid. Some of them weren't afraid of dying. But what about all the ones that were supposed to go that didn't go because they were afraid of dying? It's a snare. The Bible says that there are snares of death. The Bible says there's snares of the wicked. Let me tell you what this world is full of. Wicked and evil people. You know that they are not just benign beings out there. They are agents of the enemy. Y'all realize that, right? We're at war. And I think sometimes we don't take it serious enough that we're at war. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is a thing. This is a reality where we are. There's the snares of death. There's the snares of the wicked. These people are actively looking to cause trouble. To ensnare Christians. You know there are people out there that are trying to destroy churches? Y'all know that, right? I'm telling you, there are groups that purposely send people into churches to destroy them from the inside out. That's a real thing. It really happens. They send in these agents, and they're supposed to look the part, talk the part, act the part, so that they can build relationships and friendships with people. And then eventually they slowly and subtly start undermining the authority and drawing people away. And their whole goal is to blow that church up. Not necessarily in a physical sense, but in a social and spiritual sense. To destroy churches. Now you say, that's evil. Yes, it is. And it happens. So what are we supposed to do? Be aware. We're supposed to receive instruction. We're supposed to understand that the wicked are there to put snares in our path because we're at war. If you're on one side of a war, against another side in the war, what do you do to try to win? You set snares, right? You do, and that's what they're trying to do. And so we're at war. That's what happens when you're at war. And there are snares all around. In Psalm 11, David writes, "Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and in horrible tempest, this shall be the portion of their cup." So he says, not only do the wicked set snares, but God sets snares for them. Why? Because we're at war. You say, well, but God loves people and God wants to provide forgiveness. Yes, God does want all to come to repentance. But please understand that just because that's what God wants, he already knows that not all are going to do it. Remember, wide is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be, right? So you understand that. But God is even, if you will, part of this. And he rains snares upon the wicked. Over in, Psalm 141. "Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity." In Proverbs 22:5, "Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them." So you understand that these people, they're setting snares. Jeremiah 5:26 says, "For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that set his snares. They set a trap. They catch men." The snares of the wicked. The snares of death. Go over to 1 Timothy and chapter 3. Just a few pages from our text verse. The previous letter to Timothy. We have the snares of death, the snares of the wicked, and then of course we have the snares of the devil. These are all in cahoots. This is the enemy. You understand that, right? And folks, we're going to go to Ephesians here in just a moment because we are fighting a battle. And we need to be prepared as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. But I want you to see here, look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. And look at verse 6. He says this about the man of God. Of course, this is requirements of a pastor. He says here that the pastor is not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. By the way, what, if you will, is the original iniquity, the original sin of the devil? Pride. Right? He had an eye problem. Right? I will. Right? He said it over and over again. And the Bible said, "How art thou fallen, right, O Lucifer?" And it's because of his pride. So guess what the number one snare the devil uses to catch us? Yeah, our pride. And he's good at it. But look what it says. "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." I hope you understand that the devil, the wicked, if you will, death, these are all snares that we have to recognize and avoid. Or recognize and disarm. Paul is telling Timothy that he needs to be active, working with people to undo the damage the devil has already done. That God may recover these people, may redeem these people, may help them to get out of the snares of the devil. And then this last part, he says, who are taken captive. And as we kind of, I don't want to give you too much hope, but as we kind of close things down today, this is the main thrust of it. The snares are out there. And we need to certainly recognize them and avoid them. But we also need to help those, or maybe even ourselves, out of those snares that have been snared. The people that have been caught up in these things. Because God wants them to be recovered. God wants them to be redeemed. And it's a fight, it's a battle that we need to be part of, because it's not necessarily over when you fall into a snare. You understand that, right? Not all hope is lost when you fall into one of these snares, because let me just tell you, folks, you're probably not going to not fall into a snare all the days of your life. There are stumbling blocks. We are, the just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You understand that there are things that are going to get us down in this war. But the idea is not to stay down. The idea is not to stay in that snare. The idea is to get out of the snare so that we can be recovered and back in the fight. Go over to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would, please. God is going to do His part, but we have to do ours. So, I read to you some of these verses in Psalms and in Proverbs, and I want you to understand, God gives us the ways to get out of these things. If you are trying to avoid the snares of death, then what do you need to focus on? God, right? The wisdom of God. He told us that the law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Hey, how do we get out of the snares of the wicked? We're supposed to avoid the wicked, right? Stay there in Ephesians. I'm just going to read this to you. Psalm 1, you probably already know it. That's Isaiah. I got to go back further. You know Psalm 1, right? How do we avoid the snares of the wicked? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, right? Talks about that. Stay away. What does Solomon say about the all the people and the, he says, no, don't listen to them when they say, hey, let it come. Let us have our we'll take our spoil and we'll do all these. He goes, no. The woman, right? He says, hey, you need to make sure that you don't enter in. You don't get deceived by that. You don't go to that snare. And then, by the way, how do we avoid the devil? Don't give him any place. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. He says, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. Folks, you understand that this is a battle. So back to Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, verse 10. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, I've preached before about the snares of the devil. I've preached before about his devices. We've talked about that in the past. But I think it's something we need to be reminded of. Because sometimes we get down. Sometimes the snares of death overtake us. Sometimes the snares of the wicked overtake us. Sometimes the snares of the devil overtake us. And we've got to be reminded that we can get out of those snares. Do you know that if you fall into sin, there's forgiveness for sin? There's restoration. If you fall into despair, you can get out of despair. If you fall into the traps and the snares of the devil, you can kick them out. You can undo those snares and get out of those snares and restore fellowship with God. But you have to do your part and I have to do my part. Let me ask you a question. When you enter into a snare, anybody been snared? You've fallen into a snare before? I mean, I'm talking about a physical snare, like you walked into a bear trap or something like that, or you know, or you got caught up in one of those rope swingy uppy thingies where you get your leg, you go way up in there. Anybody, I'm gonna try that one time just to try it. Okay, let's go to the next best thing. How many of you have seen a movie where somebody got snared? Okay, good. All right, great. Okay. You've seen that movie, those movies, okay? Now, somebody gets snared, right? Those types of things. You have two choices, right? You can give up and eventually what? Die in the snare. Or you can do what? Fight to get out of it. You can fight to get out of it. You can figure out a way to get out of it. Now, I don't endorse this, but as a child, MacGyver was one of my favorite childhood heroes, okay? Now, obviously, we're not talking about the moral condition of the individual, etc. But can I tell you something? As far as getting out of snares, pretty cool, right? All right, now please understand, we should try to get out of the snare. And we should figure out a way to overcome an impossible solution with duct tape and a Swiss Army knife, you know? That's just whatever you need to do. So, we have to put on the whole armor of God. We have to, if you will, be instructed and understand the truth as our text says. He says, give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth so that we may recover ourselves out of the snare of the devil. As we put on the whole armor of God, he says here, that ye may be able, verse 11, to stand against the wiles of the devil. Those are his snares. Those are his traps. Those are his devices that he's trying to captivate us with. The devil wants to take you captive. That's his goal. He wants you out of the fight. And if we'll put on the whole armor of God, we can withstand in the evil day. So, when we put on the whole armor of God, he says in verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God. So that's an action word, right? We take unto ourselves the whole armor of God. And then he says, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And that means that the onslaught is going to come against us and we can do what? Withstand the onslaught. And then he says, and having done all to stand. Okay, so we're now standing. Then he says again in verse 14, stand therefore. So in other words, how we're going to overcome is to stand in the armor that God has given to us. Because the armor is capable of withstanding the enemy's attack. But we have to do what? Put it on. Okay? Can I tell you something? The armor is going to do its job. But where does it have to be? on us, right? We have to have, I mean, if I set the armor down in a pile over here, it will still withstand the attack of the devil. If the devil chooses to attack a pile of armor. But is it going to do me any good sitting over there? No. And listen, another thing that I don't think many people think about is we've got to put the armor on correctly. You know, if I put the helmet of salvation on my foot, how's that going to do? You got to put it on the right places. It's got to cover what it's supposed to cover and care for what it's supposed to care for. By the way, how many of you would know how to exactly put on a suit of armor right now? You say, probably not, but I could probably figure it out. Okay? Well, you might be able to figure it out, but wouldn't it be good to have some instruction? In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves? Right? The acknowledging of the truth. Oh, that's how that goes. Put it on. The helmet of salvation. So he says, we're supposed to do these things. Having your loins girt about with truth. By the way, what is one of the things that he says that gets us out of the snare of the devil? The acknowledging of the truth. He says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Go back to, just kind of flip back and forth between Ephesians here and our text. What does he say about truth? Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. Right? So what's important about the armor of God and the snares of the devil and avoiding these things is the truth. And what about righteousness? He says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And the house, there are vessels, some to honor and some to dishonor. He says here, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness. And then he says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You understand that the Bible says here in our text, but the foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Think about that. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You understand that if we, by faith, realize that God wants us to have repentance and recovery, we can have it. When we, as I explained last week with the prodigal, as we come to ourselves and we realize that God wants forgiveness and God wants restoration, we can come back into the fight because He wants us not to be taken captive. He wants us to escape the captivity of the devil. I just want you to know, at the end of that sentence in 2 Timothy 2:26, there's a little phrase there. It says, who are taken captive by Him at His will. Who's the Him and His? The devil. The devil. What is the devil's agenda? To undermine God. To destroy. And he wants and is capable of taking you captive. He wants you to be captive. He's actively trying to captivate you. He's actually actively trying to ensnare you. He's actively trying to destroy you. He is seeking whom he may devour. And we need to be aware. We need to be ready. We need to have a shield. We need to have, and by the way, the shield is able to quench all the fiery darts. But we've got to take it. We've got to employ it. And then he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hey, what does that mean? Be attentive. Wake up. Look for those tripwires. Look for the signs, the warning signs. When you enter into a scenario, take a view of it all and take it all in, because we need to be aware. Where's the devil? Where's the trap? Where's the snare? Where are the things I need to watch out for? Because we're at war. Don't just walk around. Oh, woo! Off you go. Right? Up in the air, in the tree, hanging up and down, you know. No. It's, let's see, there's a word that comes to mind. Something about circumspectly. I mean, we're looking. You know, we may get I don't even have anything like that. A device to, you know, here, let's see if this blows up. You know, are you trying to find it or not? We have a responsibility as conscious, living, breathing Christians to fight the good fight of warfare, to endure hardness as a good soldier, to be the kind of people of God, standing, withstanding, having done all to stand, because there's a battle out there and the devil wants to and is capable of taking prisoners. He feels like the more that he can make shame of God in his word, the more victorious he is, right? Remember our study in Job? The devil comes, and God says to the devil, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil says, yes, I have, but you won't let me touch him. So that just tells us that the devil does consider us. He looks for the ones he can devour. He left Job alone because he couldn't do anything about it until God allowed him to, right? Do you understand that? But don't miss the point that the devil did know who Job was. And the devil knew that he wasn't going to get anywhere with him, so he went and messed with somebody else. Don't be the somebody else. Be the Job. Be the one that is upright and fears God and eschews evil, who's avoiding the snares of devil, who's looking out for these things, who's praying for others, who's going over and sticking the knife under the sand and pushing down that little button to keep the thing from detonating and rescuing the person that's caught in the trap. Because it's a war. It's a battle that we're fighting, and Timothy was being told by Paul, Timothy, you need to be an active participant. And the Ephesians, he wrote to them and said, you need to be active participants. You need to put on the whole armor of God so that you can win in the battle. And you can help recover people that are snared and tricked and trapped. People are led to believe. I can't tell you how much this breaks my heart. You need to pray for Virgil. I've been praying every day for Virgil to get saved. There's a young man on the Navajo reservation who has been tricked into thinking that he's not worthy enough to be saved. And it's sad and it breaks my heart. But it's a snare of the devil. And I'm telling you, I did all I could to help him get out of that snare. But now all I can do is pray. That peradventure, God will give him the ability to recover himself out of the snare of the devil. Because he's been captive.
is a captive. Do we care about the captives?
We need to put on the whole armor of God, not just for our own benefit, but for the benefit of the others that we're fighting with. And if you will, fighting for. Do you want to see people saved? Then you got to go out as an armored up Christian, having the knowledge of the snares, setting them loose. Trying to help them get out of the snares of the devil. And that's our responsibility. This is a war. There's the snares of death. There's the snares of the wicked. There's the snares of the devil. And there's the tools that God has given to us, the equipment, the knowledge, the understanding that God has given to us through the Word of God so that we can fight the battle and we can win the war. So God wants us to do. Hey, we got to, by the way, does it do me any good as a soldier to be ensnared myself? Who can I help? Right? So I've got to avoid the snares. And I've got to press forward so that I can help others out of the snares that they're caught up in. See, we all have to work together on this. Paul loved Timothy. But Paul also knew what Timothy was capable of. And he wanted to instruct this young man. He said, Timothy, basically put on the whole armor of God. By the way, I don't know if you knew this, but Timothy was the pastor of the church where? Oh. And what was written to the church of Ephesus? Put on the whole armor of God. It works together, folks. And we've got to understand that we have a part in this warfare.